Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads of popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love scary movies. This is Doug Loves Movies. That's right. It's October, Sunday, October 9th, 2022. So I throw the word scary in there because it's scary movie month. And my guest today, one's very appropriate. The other two, I mean, everybody loves scary movies. But my guests today are Kevin Lewis, David Sanborn, and Taylor Rizzo. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hey Doug.
Hey, it's always that part's always weird because nobody knows who's supposed to speak first. So let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically by first name. Sorry, Taylor, it doesn't even work out for you when we switch it up. To
no help at all.
By first name, but let's do it. Here, there, wherever he is today, we grew to love him in his appearances in San Diego on Doug Loves Movies. It's David Sanborn, everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going pretty good. Can't complain.
Florida, is it?
It is.
And you didn't get wrecked by Hurricane Ian?
No, it moved over our area. It missed us by a little bit. We didn't. I think it was sunny on the day that the hurricane actually hit Florida here in Pensacola.
Wow, that's that's what you get living in the panhandle.
Yeah, I guess sometimes
that's the only word I could think of to describe Pensacola, but. Well, good for you, because that seemed like terrible timing, because it feels like you went there, arrived there, and then the hurricane happened. Like, it was like, I thought, oh no, this is terrible timing for him to go there.
We were watching it, and we would have arrived 2 days after the hurricane hit. So we wouldn't have been in the middle of it either way, but it was definitely something we were watching.
Yeah. Yeah, we're about to go there. This shit's going down. Well, glad to hear it. Thanks for joining us today. It was a last minute thing. A guest that I'll rebook for another time and don't even need to mention by name. All right, I'll just say it. Former President of the United States, Barack Obama. turns out last minute he couldn't make it today. He was like, Doug, listen. And he explained to me the whole story, and I forgive him, and I'll have him back another time. But filling in for him today is a man with a confusing name, because David Sanborn, we've discussed this on the show before, used to be, still is, a accomplished saxophone player. David, do you play any instruments?
I do not. I did play saxophone in fourth grade elementary school and immediately stopped.
You just probably had a feeling that you best you could hope for is be the second greatest David Sanborn.
Right. I didn't want to be that other David Sanborn that also plays the sax. So I just was like, I'm done with this.
Yeah, just beat David Sanborn sans talent.
Right.
But you are great at the movie trivia, I've discovered. So good luck today. Also joining us back for his second appearance. The first time he was on, it was to promote the fact that Willy's Wonderland was coming out, and because he is the director of it. And now he's got a new movie to promote, which is exactly how this show should work. It's Kevin Lewis. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Doug. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing good.
It's called The Accursed, your new film.
Yes.
And what can you tell us about it? I know these days people love to promote their movies by saying, I shouldn't tell you anything about it. You should just go in cold. But what can you tell us about this one?
Well, it's I don't really want to give the story away, but it's kind of a tone, a hark back to the 70s horror movies. Like Willy's was a love letter to the 80s, nostalgia. This is kind of a love letter to the 70s, The Omen, The Exorcist, The Changeling, that kind of vibe, more of a psychological horror film. And yeah, I'm excited for it to come out here. So.
And yeah, what's the release pattern? Like, how can people see it?
It's coming out this Friday, October 14th. It's going to be in theaters and digital streaming, Amazon, Apple, all those.
Okay, but it's going to be in theaters, which is what we always recommend, the best way to see the movie and support movies in general, is to try and get out and see.
Yes, the theater.
The Accursed with, it's got an interesting cast. Meg Foster's in it?
Meg Foster and Mina Savari, Alexis Knapp, Sarah Gray, Sarah DeMont. It's an all-female cast-driven horror film.
And Meg Foster, I'm already excited about her being in it because I've always been fascinated by her. Her eyes are very interesting.
Oh yeah, she's incredible. She did such a great job, and she's an icon. And it was just really great working with her on this movie.
Well, speaking of icons, yeah, Mina Savari, star of that poster for American Beauty, and the film itself, and so many other things. That sounds like. What's the timing on how long did you have that in development to? Because it seems like right now is especially great time to come out with a horror film with an all woman cast.
We just wrapped it a year ago, and I was cutting it and putting it together. So, it took about, I'd say probably 15, 16 months all in all, from beginning to the end.
And you hear so much of things being in development forever and or the idea of being around forever before you can get to it, but that that sounds very expedient. And thank you for joining us today for this this silliness, because I assume this movie isn't, especially when you reference The Exorcist and and the Changeling, which is, I'll always remember, is, you know, one of my favorite creep out movies of all time. So this movie is more, it's not Willy's was fun and this is more scary, right?
Yeah, this is a little more serious, darker tone for sure.
yeah. All right. Well, so, you know, at least it's not, you know, you're not promoting a Holocaust drama or something, but still it's, you know, it's totally interesting to come on such a silly show, and we appreciate it. And also joining us today is one of my co-hosts on Getting Doug with Hi, now exclusively on Patreon at patreon.com/gettingdoug. I would have left that for one of your promos, you know, one of your things to plug at the end, Taylor, but you've got another thing that you want to talk about that you do without me, the nerve. It's Taylor Rizzo, everybody. Hey, Taylor.
Hey, Doug. I when you said speaking of icons, I really thought that was going to be the segue to my intro, but it was not.
No, you had to wait through a lot of other words before we got to you. I'm sorry. I appreciate your patience. You've appeared on this show before, both in front of an audience and on Zoom, or is this your first Zoomer?
I think this is my first Zoom episode. Yeah.
All right. Well, you've been on it in Sacramento, San Diego. How do you feel about your chances today against a renowned director and a terrible saxophone player?
I feel okay. I feel like in all my appearances, I've done about 50-50 on winning or embarrassing myself. So one of those two things is going to happen.
And like I said earlier, we're going, you know, at least in the beginning of the show, we're going alphabetically. So we'll get to you in a second. But I think you in particular might have kind of a fun horror movie recommendation. Because wouldn't you say that you're film geekdom kind of falls more towards horror than other genres?
I tend to like horror sci-fi stuff a little bit, but yeah, my knowledge is not very broad. I like the things I like and have no clue about what is outside of that, so that's what.
All right. Well, we don't call them broads anymore, but other than that, you're doing great. Thank you for being here. Let's get some movie recommendations like I do every show, but since it is Halloween times and you know, there's a lot of bleak stuff going on in general, so people love to escape into scary movies. I mean, it never goes out of style, but right now people seem extra into it. So Kevin Lewis, could you please recommend, I have a feeling it might be one of the three you already discussed earlier, but if it's something else, that's fine too. But could you please recommend a scary movie?
You know, yeah. I mean, one comes to mind, especially kind of in the tone of what I did with The Accursed, is a movie called Don't Look Now.
Oh, right.
I know people have seen it and it's a classic, but it's just so well done, and the tone is so unsettling, and the vibe and just the whole feel of it, and Donald Sutherland is incredible in it, and it's such a great movie. So when you started bringing up about recommend something, it just kind of clicked in. I was just like, I rewatched it just a little recently ago, and they don't make movies like that anymore, man. It's such a powerful film. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, when they make them these days, they change the word now to up and make it about the environment and not about just creepy creepiness. That is one of those movies that there's imagery in it that you look at and go, I don't even know why I find this unsettling, but boy, is it. You know,
yeah,
it's really, Julie Christie, Donald Sutherland, just Nicholas Rogue, who makes some of the movies where the images just really, really stick with you. It's unconventionally scary, and that's a great recommendation because, you know, the jump scare thing, you know, it's fun and all, but, you know, sometimes there's movies that just sustain a creepiness that's also super appealing. Yeah. What do you think there? I almost said the name of the person who had to cancel today instead of David. I've also totally screwed up the alphabetical thing I was talking about earlier. I'm just a mess today. We're going to fix it by game time, though. David, what's your recommendation?
So my wife and I started doing our Halloween movie binge for the month. So I'm just going to recommend the last one we watched, which was one of my favorites growing up. It is Scooby-Doo Zombie Island.
Yeah.
Now, see, you say that like you think that people are going to, you know, have an attitude about it. But I've been finding out lately that there is people feel strongly about Scooby-Doo.
I am one of those people. I grew up on Scooby-Doo.
People can go one way or the other on Scrappy-Doo, but Scooby-Doo seems to have full support. Like if Scooby-Doo ran for president, I'd watch out if I were.
Well, I think Zombie Island specifically, it was like one of those 90s, you know, made straight to DVD movies they made. But it's like actually a good gateway horror movie for kids. Like it's got some actual like creepiness to it. And it like has a lot of the like horror tropes that is just like a nice introduction for kids.
I think that's great of you to be thinking about that as a childless individual, because yeah. You know, someday soon you never know, and you got it. The indoctrination is important. You know, I think I got scared too often too early, so I was a big chicken for a long time.
I did too. My mom decided to show me Nightmare on Elm Street at like 9, and
oh my God.
I didn't watch horror movies again until high school.
Because that one cuts right into what a young person would be scared of is what's going to happen when I go to sleep.
Oh yeah, I can't sleep anymore.
Yeah, I just got to stay awake so I don't get murdered. That's hard. I'm getting sleepy. Yeah, that's a good one. Like I had some mean cousins. I wouldn't call them mean. They were just having fun. But, you know, to me, it's a traumatic experience. Who there's this old black and white horror movie that called Carnival of Souls.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make that my answer today. Sorry to skip ahead, Taylor, but I'm going to say Carnival of Souls because I hadn't thought about it really until now. I thought, oh, I'll think of something when it's my turn. But Carnival of Souls is old black and white, just super creepy. But like everybody, it's all these, you know, people that aren't alive. So they to either the way they're photographed or the makeup or both, they're all just very pale, very white skin, these kind of carnival zombies. And so my cousins, you know, after showing it to me, then like later that night, you know, it came out with like Noxzema all over their faces, but like looking like the, you know, Carnival Souls. And it just was, it was very displeasing. And I was always scared of that movie. And then I saw it as an adult. It's creepy as hell, but it's not particularly scary. Okay. Taylor Rizzo.
Yes, I tried to think of a more obscure movie because you kind of set me up that I may have some knowledge, but I'm just going to go with what I was originally going to say, which I think is obscure enough, which is Let the Right One In, probably my favorite vampire movie.
And not Let
Me In.
Let me in. So Let It In.
I hate that movie so much. Yeah. The little things that they did to change it to like Americanize it completely ruined the movie for me. And I don't know. This original version is a masterpiece as far as I'm concerned. So
mm-hmm. What country is it from?
I believe it's from Sweden.
Ah, there you go. Mm-hmm. That's right. So that's why the American version, like they had American cheese instead of Swiss. And I was like, what?
Oh, man. But it's so beautifully shot. It's like as close as you're gonna get to like Wes Anderson shooting a horror movie. Like it's very symmetrical and clean. Mm-hmm. But yeah, mm-hmm. I love that fucking movie.
let the right one in. I mean, right there, they're like, oh, you know, this title, it just doesn't have enough zip, you know, let's, how about let me in, you know, because then also kind of addresses situations of marital discord. Let me, let the right one in. Let the right one in, you know, I bet you they were worried that it would sound too much like a ad for Soda Pop. You know, put the right one in your mouth. Let the right one in. These are great selections, everybody. Really, really good work. I'm going to pit them against each other on the internet. So try not to, you know, read it if you get a chance, because you don't want to hear about it. These should be proud of all your choices. And we're going to play some games right after these messages. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS, or play online via Facebook games.
We're back. That was fast. I get kind of surprised how quick it is every time. Let's play a new game that I call, you know, and this is again in line with the season. I call this game Interview with the Vampire's Kiss. And I've mashed up those two titles for a reason, because there is the motion picture Interview with a Vampire, the Neil Jordan film. Has everybody seen that?
Yes.
No.
Wait, who said no?
David.
You never saw it, David? I mean, I don't blame you for never seeing it. And I'd say, hey, great, clean slate. Check out the TV version that just started last week on AMC. I don't know about anything beyond the first episode, but based on that, I'm completely in. It's really, I really like it. But then also there's things to recommend about the movie from 1994,
Tom Cruise,
Tom Pitt, and Brad Cruise. Yeah.
Yeah.
So why do you think you have
when that movie came out, there was a revolution on Tom Cruise playing Lestat. Like it was crazy. I remember that. And everybody was just going against him playing that role.
Yeah, it was very, people were very upset about it. I hope those people survived to today to see this new version, because I think they'd be pretty happy with the Lestat, if for no other reason than the fact that he is in fact tall. which is,
Phoenix was supposed to play. Phoenix was supposed to play. Yeah. And that Christian's, cause he passed away and Christian Slater did it. And then of course that was, I think Kirsten Dunst acting debut.
Wow. Well, look at who knows a lot about Interview with the Vampire. And then, from even early, I don't know. I mean, it's I like it, but
says you can win this game.
Might be difficult for the others, but Vampire's Kiss, of course, is the Nicolas Cage classic from 1988. Another one I'd recommend for this time of year, because it's just so different from a typical horror movie. Because you're not even sure what's real or if you're supposed to be scared during a lot of it.
That's my favorite Nick Cage movie, by the way, Vampire's Kiss. That's
it. It is pure Cage. It is really, he just continues to astound throughout the entire movie. Cause you start to think, well, how can he keep up being so you know, just being so weird and have it be compelling.
Yeah.
And he finds a way, especially when he starts alphabetizing, teaching Alma how to alphabetize.
Yep.
Alva, just screaming Alva. It's already a name I'm not used to hearing, and then he's screaming it all the time. Okay, so those are the two movies that Kevin knows everything about. Taylor and David are in the dark. But fortunately, this is a guessing game, essentially, because it's, you know, the clues are not easy. I'll say a fun or otherwise fact that would apply to Interview with the Vampire or Vampire's Kiss or neither. And you, well, I'll start with David. On the first one, you get to guess. If you miss, Kevin gets to guess from the two remaining choices. Third one, Taylor gets the gimme point. So you can win this game without even knowing the answers. Yeah, it's possible. But I think Kevin might get the answer right. After someone gets the answer right, the next person gets gets the start of the next one to give everybody a chance. Here we go, David.
All right.
Interview with the Vampire, Vampire's Kiss, has an actor who starred in Mr. Robot in it.
I will say, yep, it's going to be a guess either way. Interview with the Vampire.
You're saying Interview with the Vampire has someone who starred in Mr. Robot in it.
Sure.
Just making sure as I reach for the correct sound effect. That is correct.
Oh, all right, cool.
We were just talking. Kevin just gave away the answer in the pregame discussion. Christian Slater is the actor for Mr. Robot. I mean, we didn't mention Mr. Robot.
I know. What an idiot, too. I had no idea this game was going to be. I wouldn't have opened my big mouth. So I'm sorry, guys, about all that. But
yeah, it might have helped, might not. But you get the next one. I was certain if David missed it, you would have, of course, known that one, that Christian Slater co-starred with Rami Malek and Mr. Robot, one of the most acclaimed shows that I've never watched. But I always heard it was good. Kevin?
Mm-hmm.
Which one, Interview, Kiss, or neither, has two actors from True Romance in it? Two actors from True Romance. Is it Interview, Kiss, or neither?
Okay, so Brad Pitt was in True Romance and he was in an Interview with a Vampire. I gotta do one more. Oof. I'm gonna roll with it. You know what? This could be a trick question though, too.
You might not want to show us too much of your work.
I'm gonna say Interview with a Vampire.
Oh my god.
You're going Interview. Taylor's already reacting. That is correct. It is Interview with a Vampire, because of course Christian Slater,
yes,
is
yep
the romantic lead in True Romance, and Brad Pitt is in the movie for a total of 3.5 minutes. That's
the only one I could have known the answer to.
That's the star power of Brad Pitt. Is how little he's in that movie, but he's like one of the most memorable things about that movie. He just nails it. Okay, so Kevin is on the board. David has boy, Kevin has boy. So Taylor, if you get this one, it'll be a three-way tie. It'll force a tiebreaker, but if you miss it, then David and Kevin have a chance to win. Taylor, there's a performance in one of these movies or neither by the director of the film Eve's Bayou, which I'm sure you've never heard of.
I have not. No. I'm just
so which one of those movies or neither do you think has a actor / film director?
Let's just roll right along and say
in the cast.
Interview with the Vampire.
Finally. You think that I would just have the answer always be Interview with the Vampire?
Yes, that's exactly.
I think that's the kind of game I run.
Yes.
Incorrect. It was a good try, though. David, what do you think? Vampires kiss or neither?
I will say the vampires kiss.
Oh, Kevin, I can't believe this happened to you. David wins this game. Kevin knew more about this movie than even I know, both of these movies, and still managed to not take the win. But let me just give you one last question, Kevin, just so you can show off how well you know these movies. Has a character named Duckface, is that interview, kiss, or neither?
Oh my God. oh my God. Duckface. Vampire's kiss.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. That was a tough one, though. You know, because they both of those movies have very oddly named characters in them, and that sort of inspired me to come up with Duckface. But the answer on that one is neither. You totally, knew it.
I would have totally thought that that would be the character that was given a vampire's kiss.
Right, because they were kind of asking for it with their duck face.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Duck face always looks like you want to kiss, but then the vampire missed and bit the neck, and then that was that. Have any of you seen the new Interview with the Vampire show?
No, but you like it?
I'm telling you, it's super. It's what Anne Rice would have wanted, I think. It's got, with the added element of race, because I don't believe that the Brad Pitt character was black in the books. I haven't read the books, but he's black in the TV show. But the show's just got something for everybody, I like to think. So check it out if you get a chance. It's only one episode in, or wait and binge the whole thing. I feel like it'd be very bingeable because the first episode has quite a bit of incident in it, and you kind of makes you go, wow, if this is how they start, like, where's this thing going to go? We have to take one more break, but our winner of that game, David, he wins is he gets to go first in our second and last game of today's show. So we'll do that right after this. It's going to be another amazingly quick break. You're not going to believe how short it is. We'll be right back.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
We're back. Am I right? That was quick.
It's pretty quick.
Very, very quick. Yeah.
Like quickest magic. Breaks in the business. I mean, I don't know how long the commercials are. I hope it wasn't too long for everybody listening, but for us in the studio and in our homes, that went by fast. All right. So to determine a so-called winner today, we're all winners ultimately because we're playing movie trivia over our phones on the last beautiful Sunday of the year. Let's play a game called Weird Algorithm. The Internet Movie Database, which I'm sure all movie lovers are familiar with, has a weird algorithm where you can take the cast of a motion picture and rearrange the listings instead of the proper credited order into, I always say actors should not stumble upon this because they're not going to want to know the results, but you can reorder them based on the popularity index on IMDb, which is based on current search levels for the individuals involved. So in this game, I say the name of a movie, even tell you who's in it, you know, except for maybe some surprise cameos and stuff. It's fun to leave those out. But I'll even help you through who's in the movie, give you some people to pick from. And each of you will name somebody that you think might be the most popular person right now, as of today, on IMDb. And you can share answers on this one. Strategically, you don't always want to say what other people are saying, but you can all, pick the same answer if you want to. And David's going to go first, then Taylor, then Kevin, because that's what happens when you know more than the other players. you get penalized. All right. The first movie is everybody's, I know I'm pumped for Deadpool 3. But the movie we're going to do is Deadpool Part 2, starring, of course, Ryan Reynolds, Josh Brolin, Zazie Beetz, Rob Delaney, Evan Peters, quite a few, not a lot of other big names, but Moreno Baccarin is back from Deadpool 1. What do you think, David, out of all those, who do you think would be like number one? That would be worth 3 points if you name the number one person, 2 points for number two, 3 points. I mean, 1 point for number three. No points if your name does not fall in the top three.
All right. I mean, I feel like I should just go with Ryan Reynolds with the whole announcement he just had. Plus, he's in a new movie every 2 months, it seems like.
I mean, he owns a soccer team now.
Yeah, he's got that soccer team show that he's doing.
Yeah, and he's doing Deadpool 3 is going to have Wolverine in it, which is just genius.
I think I'm going to go with Ryan Reynolds.
You're going Ryan Reynolds. Okay.
I'm going to go for it.
All right. Well, I'll double check with you after you hear what the other players have to say. Taylor, are you still there?
Yeah, I think I have to just go with Josh Brolin.
I think
that's my guess. He's never not going to be incredibly famous, so
He's big. I mean, being Thanos, and then also, what was his name in Deadpool 2, like Bolt or
Cable. You're in the right area. They're in the same aisle at Home Depot.
But Thanos and Cable, I mean, that's pretty amazing. All he needs is a mythical, you know, a huge iconic character that begins with H, and he can say, yeah, I play THNC. All right. So you're going Josh Brolin. What do you think, Kevin? Who do you think is most popular in that cast right now?
Ryan Reynolds.
Okay. So, David, you sticking with Ryan after hearing what else has gone on? What else has transpired?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Ryan Reynolds.
All right. So David and Kevin, you're going Ryan. And Taylor is going Josh Brolin. Here's how it shook out. Zazie Beetz came in fourth. Third place, a 10-second cameo by Brad Pitt. if it's even that long.
Shorter than True Romance.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's amazing how short his cameo is. It's just really just his face appearing and then he dies. Spoiler. Number two, and that's where it gets weird. That's why it's a weird algorithm. Number two is Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool himself. With all these things he's got going on, that's Wrexham thing and all the other stuff. But that means 2 points for Kevin and 2 points for David. And number one, I'm not exactly sure why, but I think he's a terrific actor. Evan Peters.
Oh, jeez.
Is currently number one. He was great in Mayor of Easttown, but what's up with him right this second? Did something else Marvel happen to him? Because of course he was in WandaVision.
I feel like I heard his name about something, but I can't remember what it was.
That's what this game always is like the number one tends to be somebody that something happened to them and you're like, yeah, I heard they were in the news, but I can't remember exactly why.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a two-way tie, and it's always great to have Taylor on the show. Yeah, hang in there, buddy.
I'm still here.
Yeah, you're still here. You're making it work, and you get to go first this round too.
Wahoo!
I'll do that for you. Okay, so all right. Our second title is a motion picture that came out a few years back, directed by none other than Steven Spielberg, and it was called Ready Player One. Bad guy Ben Mendelsohn, sidekick Lena Waithe, hero Ty Sheridan, other hero Olivia Cooke, Simon Pegg is some weirdo, Mark Rylance, always a great weirdo. What do you think out of those folks? Nobody really pops as like the big movie star, really.
No, I feel like Simon Pegg has been doing kind of a lot. I'm gonna go with Simon Pegg.
You think Simon Pegg's being kind of extra lately?
He's been a little extra lately.
Yeah. I love whenever his name comes up, I like to do my impression of him in Star Wars episode 7. The Force Awakens. I gotta be accurate. It's important to be accurate. In that one, or was it Rogue One? Now I'm confused. I think it's Force Awakens.
I think it's Force Awakens.
He's the guy selling. He's that big monster guy, and this is what he sounds like. Four portions. All right. So you're going Simon Pegg, Taylor.
Yes, sir.
All right. And then who is next? Kevin?
You know, so Mark Rylance stole Stallone's Oscar back in the day for Bridge of Spies, and he's a great actor. I just feel he's doing so many projects. I'm going out of limb. I'm going Mark Rylance.
He really is showing. He was in the aforementioned Don't Look Up, and he's in this thing I haven't seen yet that I've heard some good stuff about called The Outfit.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely up to some stuff. Was previously worked with Spielberg, and what I feel is one of Spielberg's biggest misfires is that the one about the giant.
BFG. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't love that.
No.
I said big fucking go. No. Okay. So you're okay, so that leaves David. What do you think, David?
These are the two actors I was going between.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think
you know, stick your neck out and agree with Taylor or go with the reasonable, sensible.
I think I'm gonna stick my neck out and go with Taylor, with Simon Pegg, with like the Mission Impossible stuff they've been promoting.
Right. Yeah. He's right there by Tom Cruise's side. Whenever Tom Cruise is like doing something ridiculous, it might get him killed. Simon Pegg's always right there.
His eyes are all big.
Yeah. Yeah. He's always like, what? And like, you know, a lot of times there's a last minute hiccup in whatever it is he created to help with the mission. So he's about to watch like Tom Cruise, you know, his magnetic gloves are about to become uncoupled from the giant building. And he's just standing by going, oh, this is going to be my fault. And then that's when you have to rely on Ghost Protocol. Okay, this is a interesting one. Let's recap. Simon Pegg for Taylor and David, and Kevin's going with Mark Rylance, who is an Oscar thief. I agree with your earlier comment. He's a real Oscar thief. Like, he's been more amazing. He's been better in other movies, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, but that's, you know, that's that, there you go. That's the Academy Awards for you. They just sort of honor who they feel like honoring, and that's taking time to compare specific performances is, they don't want to bother. Sometimes they don't even watch all the movies and they vote anyway. Coming in at number five was the aforementioned Ben Mendelsohn, who I think he should just call himself Bendelsohn. make his name fun. Number four, Kevin, your instincts were pretty good because he came in fourth, but that is where Mark Rylance landed.
All right.
Number three, appearing in this film in some capacity, I don't even remember what he does in the movie, is probably a voice, is Brad Dourif, who is, of course, from the classic One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in the 70s and many things since then, but is the voice of Chucky. So that's a thing people are looking into right now between Halloween and this new Chucky show that's on. I guess that's given him quite a boost. And then number two is a young actress who I really liked in a movie called Troop. What's it called? Something about a Girl Scout troop. And Troop Zero. And her name is McKenna Grace. She's number two. So she's up to something. I think she's in a new movie. In fact, I know she's in a new movie, but I can't remember which one. And then similar case for number one is Olivia Cooke is in the number one slot for something that's going on with her. So goose eggs across the board. That was a weird one. Yeah.
Sorry to bring you down, David.
Well, the two of you are still tied for the lead in this third round. This is the one that determines it unless we remain in a tie, and I'll be ready to settle that if need be. But this is a real nostalgic one and a real interesting one to me, because usually we do these with movies with really big casts. But this one, I'm going to tell you the names of every person that's in it, except for one who has a very, very minor role. John Hughes's The Breakfast Club. Probably one of the greatest auteur films of all time in terms of like someone just writing and directing something themselves. We've got, of course, Emilio Estevez, Anthony Michael Hall, and Judd Nelson are the three dudes. Then you got Molly Ringwald and Ally Sheedy representing the ladies. And then you've got the custodian and the principal. And that's the cast. Out of those folks, who's popular right now? Kevin?
I'm going to say Molly Ringwald.
I just want to go answer the question, Claire.
I'm sorry. I'm going Molly Ringwald.
Okay. Did she do something new?
I was reading about her that she did something or what. So that's what I'm going for. I was going to go for Emilio, but I'm going Molly Ringwald.
All right.
I'll lose.
What do you think about that, Taylor?
That sounds good. I was thinking Emilio Estevez just because of there's a new season of The Mighty Ducks.
Ducks, yep.
Mm-hmm. That just came out.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. And he's in it?
I don't know if he's in it, but he's so tied to that if you search Mighty Ducks at all, you might go down the Emilio Estevez rabbit hole. So I think I'm gonna go with Emilio.
Who else? Are there any famous ducks? Like, did any of the duck kids grow up to still be famous?
Duck face.
Yeah.
Howard.
I think Charlie Conway, the Pacey from Dawson's Creek.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That guy.
He became pretty popular.
I like that guy.
I think there's another guy that you may have heard of. His name is Kenan Thompson.
Yeah, I was going to guess Kenan Thompson, but I thought if I'm wrong on this, that sounds racist.
But and then, I mean, Danny Tamborelli is still quite famous.
Mm-hmm. From The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Yeah, you got a few of them in there still.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sad that I can't remember Pacey's name, though, his real name. He was in The Affair.
Yeah, I can't remember it either.
Yeah, that dude works all the time. He's very, very, very good actor. All right. So, yeah, Mighty Ducks. Well, I feel like Emilio's not in it. So maybe, yeah, maybe he's getting a lot of love for the fact that, you know, he's been snubbed by this new series. Because, like, you watch Cobra Kai, and it's like that tent was wide open. Like they let everybody in.
Yeah, right.
You know, like if you had a part in the Karate Kid movies, you're allowed on the Cobra Kai TV show. And I want him to get Hillary Swank in. I saw her the other day on a talk show and she was saying they've never asked her, but how great would it be if they had, you know, the next Karate Kid? What if she, you know, showed up and was like, an adult who does karate. She was so good at boxing and Million Dollar Lady. Baby. Million Dollar Baby.
Million Dollar Lady.
What a dumb title, Million Dollar Baby. Really sounds like you're going to see a fun movie, Million Dollar Baby. How much is that baby worth? Easily a cool mill. Okay, what's happening? We still have one person who needs to weigh in, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
David.
So I was thinking of going with Emilio Estevez too, but last time I went with Taylor, it screwed me. I think I'm going to make it interesting, and I'm going to say Anthony Michael Hall.
Mm.
That is interesting.
He was in the last Halloween movie.
Yes.
So maybe that's making a comeback.
Yeah.
I mean, he never went away. He had that series for a while, The Dead Zone, and yeah. he was like the local news anchor in Gotham in the Nolan Batman movies.
Yes, yeah.
All right, so that's interesting. And so, Kevin, do you want to stick with Molly Ringwald after hearing all this other information?
Yeah, I'm going down with the ship. I'll do Molly Ringwald.
And Taylor?
Oh yeah, I gotta stay with my boy. Quack, 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 quack.
Well, you just got back from you traveled to go shoot a film with hockey in it, right?
Yes, I believe we did a count. This will be the 15th American hockey movie ever made.
Wow. So,
yeah, we went very deep in watching a lot of hockey movies recently and just sort of getting super ingrained in it. So, yeah, it was so much fun.
Well, this is a fun sidebar, I think. Let's go. Top hockey movies.
Oh, man. Miracle.
Right. That's inspirational.
Inspirational.
It's just so good at, like, representing hockey as far as the gameplay.
Right.
Slapshot.
Slapshot is great. Youngblood is one of my personal favorites.
I don't think there's such a thing as a bad hockey movie, to be honest with you. I'd even go as far as to say as long as there's skating in a movie, I like it. But
yeah.
But with
Does
hockey,
that scene in Clerks count?
Yeah. 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 But with hockey, my number one, isn't even on the 15, right? Because Goon is out of Canada.
I believe Goon is because they went through an American distribution company. I think that it is included on a lot of the
I bet it was made Canadian and distributed by an American company.
Yeah.
You know, in addition to whoever distributed it in Canada.
Yeah, that sounds accurate.
Okay. Well, I'm glad it's on the 15 because that's an interesting list. What about Mystery Alaska?
Yeah, Mystery Alaska is another really good one.
What's the worst one? What's the hockey movie that you went, no thanks?
MVP, most valuable primate.
That is from a different list. That is from the primates doing things they shouldn't be doing list, or the animals that can't possibly hold a ball but do so in film, that kind of thing. Like, no, I mean,
the worst one, it has to be either like, and they're not even that bad, like either like the third Mighty Ducks or like one of the Slapshot sequels, or like, yeah, there's really not a lot of bad movies, honestly.
They did Slapshot sequels, like without Paul Newman?
Yeah, they're pretty bad. Straight to video stuff.
Just like the Hanson brothers, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've only seen one of them, but apparently they did two. And
wow.
So it was rough.
All right. Well, it sounds like you got some work to do, because you were bragging about being some sort of hockey movie completist and you haven't even seen Slapshot 3. Okay, here we go. Here's how it breaks down. Taylor, what a terrific competitor you were today. Oh, I'm going to go all the way back, though. First of all, IMDb just straight up says no data on Paul Gleason or John Kapelos, who played the principal and the custodian, respectively.
Didn't Paul Gleason pass away?
I think he did, yes. Yeah. I think, yes, he did. But John Kapelos is still a character actor you see in stuff all the time. Number six was John Hughes. Excuse me, Judd Nelson. I'm like so anxious to say number five is John Hughes, because he's, as the director, he gave himself a cameo as Anthony Michael Hall's, one of the kids' father. I think he's Anthony Michael Hall's father.
Oh, wow.
And then number four is Ally Sheedy. And number three, getting Taylor's finally on the board with 1 point. Because Emilio did, Mighty Ducks 2 did get him to number three, I guess. Or not Mighty Ducks 2. Whatever the show's called. What's the TV show called?
I think it's just called The Mighty Ducks, the show, or something like that.
Let me see.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah. There's no like phrase from that. You know what I mean? Like Karate Kid had that cool Cobra Kai phrase they could use. There's nothing you could take from the Duck movies. Right?
Oh, it's called The Mighty Ducks. It's called The Mighty Ducks Game Changers.
Oh, come on. All right. Speaking of game changers, we have a winner, because each of you selected a different person from the remaining two. And number two is Anthony Michael Hall. We're leaving Molly Ringwald in the number one slot for whatever the heck it is she's up to right now. But it's big, whatever it is. And congratulations, Kevin Lewis. You're our winner today.
Yay. Congrats, Kevin.
You did it. So exciting. That means you get to do your plugs first. The Accursed is coming to theaters this Friday, and you can watch it at home if you're one of those types. I'm sure it plays good in a darkness in any setting, but what else? Anything else you'd like to add, Kevin?
I'm just excited for everybody to see it. You know, if you like the old vintage vibes, those 70s horror movies, this could be for you. So hope you guys check it out.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And congratulations on the big win.
Thank you.
And David Sanborn, thank you for joining us so last minute from a place that almost nearly was destroyed. But luck will out, and everything's fine where you're at. And what would you like to, do you have anything you want to plug?
Sure. So you can follow me on Instagram at DD Sanborn. And then I also have a Letterboxd account that you can follow on D Sanborn.
And no E at the end of Sanborn. We'll just settle down, everybody.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't got that fancy at the end.
Mm-mm. But you're fancy to me. And anytime I need a guest with only 30 minutes to spare, you're gonna be my man. Plus, I'll ask you in a reasonable amount of time sometime. We did establish earlier that that you're you stay at home while your wife has adventures.
Exactly.
Yeah. Taylor Rizzo.
Yeah.
What would you like to plug, buddy?
I would like to first off plug our podcast, Getting Dug with High, that we do every single Tuesday with myself, Doug Benson, and Alicia Glass. That is available on patreon.com/gettingdug. That's super fun. Check that out. I have a podcast as well on YouTube. It is called What's Wrong With Me. And we have a little trivia segment on that podcast where I ask trivia questions about my opinions. That's called Not Trivia. So if you like, you're into trivia, that might be something fun for you to listen to. So check that out on YouTube, What's Wrong With Me podcast, and follow me on Instagram at Rizzo Rizzo.
Yeah. If you're into trivia, you might enjoy Taylor's version that is not trivia. It's just his own opinions.
That's right. It's called Not Trivia.
Which I guess are trivial. Well, thank you to all of you for being here. I would like to plug my upcoming Doug Loves Movies tapings in front of a live audience. We've got next Saturday, I'll be at the Punchline in San Francisco at 4:20 in the afternoon. And then the following Saturday, Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles, also an afternoon show. And you can find out more about both those DougLovesMovies.com. Ka-ka! One more time, David Sanborn, Kevin Lewis, Taylor Rizzo. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And
thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug. Thank you, guys.
As always, come, John.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There.